Among the many plays written by Norwegian playwright Henrik Ibsen was one called Emperor and Galilean, written in 1873. It was about the life of Julian, who ruled the Roman Empire in the middle of the 4th century AD. Julian tried to change the newly established state religion of Christianity back to the old ways and worship of the Roman and Greek gods. In his 8-hour play, and by the way, that's probably our first clue as to why nobody wants to produce it. During this 8-hour play, Ibsen portrays the life of Julian from when he was a child in a Christian family all the way up to his time as a pagan Roman Caesar. And at one point in the play, Ibsen has Julian say, "Have you looked at these Christians closely? They brood their lives away, unspurred by ambition. The sun shines for them, but they do not see it. The earth offers them its fullness, but they desire it not. All their desires to renounce and suffer that they may come to die." A bleak picture, don't you think? And this dour depiction of Christians may have influenced Ibsen as well. Today's critics of the Christian church often complain that we don't seem to be having any kind of joy in our lives. Millennials charge Christians with being quick to judge, ever ready to tell people what they're doing wrong. Dean Natisdy tells about a woman who describes her pastor as so solemn, he looks like he just walked out of a NyQuil commercial. Now that's solemn. It is unfortunate that to some, even at this time of year, we look more like Ebenezer Scrooge than we do the angel with good news of great joy. So it should not come as any surprise that the New Testament calls us to rejoice no less than 73 times. Talk about slow to pick up a message. What are you telling me, God? What are you telling me? Rejoice. How can we experience joy this Christmas? Or for that matter, how can we live a more joy-filled life the rest of the year as well? Well, to do so, we need a healthier and more biblically informed understanding of joy. Joy is dependent on God and independent of worldly circumstances. It is not passive. You might say joy in the Bible is a verb and not a noun. It actively affirms that God is at work. It is a gift from God. We must guard it against unhealthy lifestyles. It is a contentment that comes from knowing that God, who began a good work in you, will bring it to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. Philippians 1, verse 6. Now, in the original language of the New Testament, the words grace, thanks, and joy all have the same root. And I don't think this is merely a coincidence. The more we understand grace, the more we respond with thanks. The more we respond with thanks, the more we experience joy. Grace, thanks, joy. That's the sequence. Grace refers to God's unmerited favor. Now, all of God's gifts are undeserved, but especially the gift of salvation. In spite of our sinfulness, God sent his Son into the world to be the means by which we can be forgiven. Hence the title, Savior. A genuine experience of God's grace will result in a response of gratitude. And as a result of our gratitude, we'll want to grow in our commitment to God, in our desire to please God. And as we grow in our desire to please God, we experience more and more joy. Now, this is not the same as happiness, which is based on circumstances, upon chance, upon luck. But rather, joy is that comes from a growing personal relationship with the Lord. Now, the Bible clearly teaches that believers will experience trials and challenges of all sorts in this life, but we can rejoice in God, who will never forsake us, and who ultimately will triumph over sin and death, raising his children to eternal life. The angel said, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." This was no ordinary birth announcement that first Christmas. This was sin-crushing, death-defeating, universal news alert. "For unto you is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." News of great joy, so much so that the shepherds couldn't stop talking about it. And they were the first ones to hear this news. Joy in the Lord, that's what this is. This joy responds to all God is and all God has done and is doing. It is a relational joy that goes beyond worldly good fortune. And this joy is eternal. This joy flies in the face of Ibsen's Julian, who saw Christians as a broody, sorry lot. This joy shines through the carols of the season, the notes we write on various Christmas greetings, the works of charity we offer, and the tears which fall when we finally get it, why Jesus was born. You can experience joy at Christmas and throughout the year. Listen again to the words of the angel. "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Does the prodigal life of a son or daughter bring you sorrow? The Christ child is born to bring hope and to provide answers to the prayers of God's people. Does the diagnosis that you did not expect bring you sorrow? The Christ child is born to bring health and healing of body, soul, and spirit. Does the death of a loved one cause you to sorrow? The Christ child is born to go all the way through death and the grave to provide the certain hope of eternal life for all those who trust in him. Christ is born to pierce through all the darkness of our lives, bringing the heavenly light of joy which will never end. Jesus Christ is our eternal joy, and you can experience him at any time. this morning, if you wish.